Take a deep breath. And remember, there's a power. Breathing you. This is your space of sanity in an evolving world, where we learn about spiritual law and how to apply it to our lives in a way that is practical and life-changing. This is where we remember truth to make the world a better place, one person at a time. I'm Claire Lautier, inspirational speaker, teacher of the technology of transformation, and a certified life mastery consultant and spiritual growth mentor. Welcome to the Grace Space. Well, I have a treat for you all today. We're going to spend some time with one of my closest friends, Charlotte Gowdy. Charlotte Gowdy has trained extensively in the realms of sexuality and spirituality through the lenses of Tantra, Taoism, and Kundalini Yoga. She works as a creative consultant and a sex genius mentor for the Sexual Savant courses led by holistic sex and relationship coach Kim Anami. She is a certified Kundalini Yoga instructor and an international teacher of clowning, improvisation, and playfulness. She is a published poet, campfire fiddler, cold water swimmer, and a wild woman, and I can attest to that, who is living her dream life. She splits her time between the French Alps and a seaside cottage on the east coast of Canada. Coming out of a wonderful 25-year career as a theater actor and director, including seasons at Shaw Festival, Stratford Festival, and Canadian Stage, Charlotte has had the good fortune of teaching and coaching at colleges and universities across the globe, including in North America, Europe, and South America. As a personal trainer in physical embodiment and spiritual evolution, Charlotte is passionate about helping people connect with their innate power through the conscious activation, cultivation, and upward channeling of their creative life force energy. Life is a gift. Tout est possible. Everything is possible. And I know you're going to find that as you listen in on this conversation that Charlotte and I are having. Okay, here we go.
How do you get to where you are now from where you started? Because you and I met in Stratford at the Stratford Festival. You were a director. I was in the company. You know, this was years ago. And then you started coming to my yoga class. And we just sort of, over the years, we kind of built a friendship and a connection. But how did you get from being a director at the Stratford Festival to being a sex savant and creative consultant?
Well, it started with just reading books about sex. And then someone putting me onto this podcast of Kim Anami's, which was really blatant and hilarious and a take on sex I'd never heard before. And then I decided to gift myself this yoni egg, this jade yoni egg, and started working with it. And then, I mean, my whole life changed since then. That's the nutshell version of how I transitioned. But it's been many years now of real commitment to sex and learning about sex and sexuality and my own relationship with my sexual energy.
Right. And when you say sex, you know, we're not just talking about sex with another person. We're talking first and foremost about a sexual relationship with yourself. Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have to ask the question because I know, I mean, you and I talk about it all the time. And just so everybody knows, you know, Charlotte was really the reason that I first acquired a jade yoni egg as well. She was the one who told me about, you know, what she was listening to and the rabbit hole that she was going down. And so I was like, oh, I want that. And so I ordered a yoni egg too. And that was the beginning of my journey. And so we've really, you know, dovetailed, I guess, in our exploration here. And Charlotte, you were kind and generous enough to sort of shepherd me and coach me through one of my rounds of vaginal kung fu, which we did, which is one of Kim Anami's courses, which I've done a few times now in addition to some of her other courses. But Charlotte was the one that I went to, you know, to share my innermost thoughts and feelings and experiences about what was going on as I was trying to heal myself, you know, and this is something I'll go into in another episode, tell you more about, but, you know, you were there. And so it's fascinating to hear about your journey and to hear about the, and to discover for myself, but it was really, you know, you were really the guru, you know, for me here, was like learning about the connection between empowerment and sexual energy. Can you elaborate a bit more on that?
Yeah, so sexual energy creates new life. So sexual energy is the most powerful energy there is out there because it creates new life. And most people are disconnected from the scope of their sexual energy. So when you begin to tap into it, you realize you have infinite power within you. And it can be very daunting sometimes because of the programming and that we've received, you know, from birth, which is just embedded in our culture as Westerners in this time. So it can be very daunting to go there, to begin to go there. But I know for myself that when I started going there, so many things started exploding in my life.
How so? Can you share about that?
Yeah. I was trying to get pregnant at the time, and I had been trying for a long time. And a few weeks after I started the Yoni Egg practice, boom, I got pregnant. So that was an explosion of a sort. My finances, I'd always been in this mode of like a struggling artist, paycheck to paycheck, in this mindset of I can't afford this, or, you know, I don't deserve that, or I'll never have that. And once I started working with this energy, so with the egg, but also with the energy of cultivating this energy, all of a sudden, I was making more money, I was getting more offers, I was seeing the world differently in that, actually, no, I'll take that 3-month luxurious trip to Europe and trust that I can do it. And I wouldn't have that kind of confidence or trust if it were not for the relationship I was cultivating with my sexual energy, the most powerful life force, potent energy there is that I know of.
Right. So, you know, we've been talking a little bit about the second chakra and second chakra being, of course, the center of creativity and sex and money and also pleasure, right? All different kinds of pleasure. And so do you attribute sort of waking up the energy, the stuck energy in that center to the flow of all of these good things in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, one of the things I did when I started waking up this energy was I started a pleasure account. So anytime I made money, I would immediately take 10% and put it into a separate account that was just for pleasure. And I had never valued pleasure in that way before. And it was revolutionary in my life because all of a sudden I had dedicated funds for pleasure. So it had a ripple effect, not only in like what I was doing with my life, but how I carried myself, because all of a sudden I really carried myself as I walked through the world with a sense of I value pleasure. And then that's so magnetic that you attract more good things. I was also at a time in my life where, I don't know if you've heard about I'm a bit of an astrology geek, not an astrology expert, but I was in my, what's it called? The Uranus opposition. Uh-huh. So it happens. It's kind of like a midlife crisis where everything turns upside down in your life. So I had all these things happening that were big things, and they were exploding in many ways and like very challenging, some of them. But because I was working with this energy, I felt like it was dark night of the soul, but it was like this fast track.
Completely. And I can totally identify with that. I mean, I've been, for the last year or so, I've been going through the most challenging patch of my life ever. And, you know, this has been working with Yoni and sexual energy has been a touchstone, you know, something that I've kept going back to again and again, especially when I feel afraid or limited. You know, I got to like kickstart, jumpstart that energy. And it really changes the way that I feel and the way that I see things.
Yeah. Another thing it really does for me, because I'm a bit of a worker bee and like I'm really into like self-discipline and going for things a bit too much, is it reconnects me with my feminine energy and the energy of softness and surrender, which is challenging for me and for as I've experienced for many women. And that has, when you talk about like sacred intimacy or developing a more intimate relationship with yourself, that has been like, yeah, so key to having a deeper relationship with myself and a sense of my own wholeness, integrity. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, wholeness. I totally identify with that. I think it's natural, isn't it? It's just something that happens naturally when you start to explore all of that. I mean, like exploring your own inner terrain in a very real, tangible way. I mean, we'll get into all the different things and the different ways you can practice, but like, I mean, I know for sure that until I started working this way, I had never like really put my hands inside my vagina. I didn't know where my cervix was. You know, I was super disconnected. I can't say that, you know, I had any major traumas the way that some women have, but there were enough. There were enough emotional and physical traumas to disconnect me. And I think really just the culture that we grew up in, you know, and the way that women's bodies were framed already kind of start you off in a kind of disconnect. Would you agree with that?
100%. Yeah. I have a couple of anecdotes that I thought about this morning that that would validate that. So when I was really, really little, like probably 3 or 4, you know how kids like play doctor and they play with their bodies and stuff. I have a very distinct memory of this where I had my fingers inside my vagina and I was like 3 or 4. And I was just exploring with curiosity and openness, didn't know that it was good or bad, had no sort of judgment on it. And I smelled my finger after and I was like, oh, that's an interesting smell, you know, that's different. And then I think I showed my mom like what it smelled like or something, and she flipped out. I don't remember what she said or anything, but I just remember that it was inappropriate what I was doing. That mm-hmm. was the message, which is so weird. I mean, it's my body. Like, I should be able to touch it, you know? And then the other one was when I was maybe 7 or 8, I was setting the table for dinner, big family, lots of plates in my hand. And I think I dropped one or something. And my mom was in the kitchen and I was in the dining room setting the table. And I said to myself, I'm such a slut. Oh gosh, I'm such a slut. And I meant to say klutz, but I hadn't really learned those two words really well yet. I'm such a slut. And my mom heard me and came in and again was like, just shame. Just like, do not say that word. You are not that. That is a bad thing. But look, Ma, look at me now.
Look, Ma, both hands. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's amazing how, you know, like if she'd only known how you were going to empower yourself with that word. It's funny because I used that word in the episode where I started talking about those micro traumas and how sort of I felt like it was implied to be a slut was a shameful thing. And it was implied that you were a slut if you were interested in sexuality, you know, or if you explored it, right? If you were discovering it and you shouldn't, you know, there, yeah. I mean, definitely we can see that's obviously the evidence of years and years of thousands of years of sexual repression that we're dealing with. And it's just the water that we're swimming in. There's a lot of shame around it, and guilt and everything. You know, I told the stories of those yeast infections that I had as a teenager that really, you know, messed with my head and how it got all mixed up and conflated with sexuality in my mind, even though it had nothing to do with it. Tell me more about the ways that we can unlock this powerful energy. Well, let's look at it this way. Like, what are the symptoms that a person is disconnected from their sexual energy? How does it manifest in symptoms of unlived life or in stuck energy? What do you generally see with people that you work with?
People who aren't happy in their jobs. People who have a hard time with money. What, even if they're making lots of it, they're worried about it, or they're not making enough and they're worried about it. People that cannot wake up in the morning and say, I love my life. I can wake up in the morning and say that no matter what is going on, I can say, I love my life. And I haven't always been like this. It's only been since doing this work. And so if someone cannot say, like I was doing a little play reading the other day, and someone was saying, oh, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm going to Europe next month for a few months. And they're like, oh, sounds dreamy. And I said, yep, I love my life. And then someone else said, oh, I cried in the shower this morning.
Oh, yeah.
And I just think, like, okay, that chances are that person is not in touch with their sexual energy fully. Because if they were, well, not that crying in the shower is a bad thing. I cry in the shower sometimes too. But like, if you cannot say that you love your life, then there is a misalignment of your power, of where you're channeling your energy. You're
okay.
Channeling your energy into something that's not fruitful.
Yeah. Right. So what is it to be in touch with your sexual energy? What does that mean?
Being in touch with your sexual energy is spending time, if you're a woman, for example, with your deepest, innermost parts of your body, which is your vagina and your cervix. Spending time there daily. Not avoiding it, ignoring it, pretending like it doesn't exist. Like, imagine you just pretended like you didn't have a right arm. You just didn't use it. Like, it's weird. It would be weird to just walk around and like not use your right arm.
Right.
And then you have this amazing part of your body that is full of potential and energy that can spread to your whole body, your whole being, your whole aura, your whole spirit. You know that feeling when you've had a good fuck? It's like you radiate, you emanate joy and freedom, and I don't care what anyone thinks of me, and you're relaxed, and you connect with people easily. You can make eye contact with yourself in the mirror, you know, like that's, yeah.
And I just want to pick up on what you said. You know, I mean, having a good fuck doesn't necessarily, it doesn't mean you have to have a partner, right?
No.
I mean, that was like, for me, a huge source of disempowerment, unconscious disempowerment. Because I never, until I started working on myself here, I didn't realize that, you know, you could have a sex life without another person. You know, I was always dependent on a man to express that part of myself. I didn't understand how to connect with it on my own. So how does a person go about beginning to reestablish a relationship with their yoni? I mean, we'll talk specifically about women right now. We can also touch upon men as well, and what you know, in your experience. But I'm really interested in, you know, how is somebody who's listening to this conversation and being really like, well, yeah, I want some of that. How do I start? What do I do? How do I, you know, reconcile with my sexual energy, with my reproductive organs, with myself?
I'm going to answer that. But first, I just want to go back to something you've just said, which is around this notion that we have that we can only have a good sex life if we're in a partnership. And my feeling on that is that we can only have like if we're in a partnership, the quality of sex that we have is equal to the quality of sex that we can have with ourselves. So the more that we can get to know ourselves sexually on our own, the more we're going to attract a partner and a partnership and a sexual relationship that matches that. And of course you can find these moments with a partner that are ecstatic, but if you limit yourself to thinking that I can only have that with a partner, then you're actually not going to have a great sex life with your partner.
Yeah, because you've made them your source instead of understanding that you are your own source always, yeah, in all things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was definitely a blind spot for me. I was like, okay, yes, I am the principles, the universal laws. I am my own source. I am the sources within me and all. There was a complete separation and divide in that second chakra area where there was a lot of stuff I hadn't looked at or resolved, right? You know, that there was a division and a split away from myself there. So how to reconcile that split, yeah, dissolve that boundary.
Yeah. And just to say also that split is, I think it's a lifetime journey. My computer's just doing something weird. To constantly come back to your source, because it's so easy to get pulled out. Okay, so how can you reconcile that? You start as a woman, depending on your sexual history, if you have sexual trauma, you might not be able to put your fingers on your yoni right away, your hands on your yoni right away. So you start by connecting to your body, to your skin, maybe breast massage, maybe even just going for a massage. You know, if you're very frigid, in a state of real numbness, you might just start by focusing on doing a morning yoga practice. If you're not used to moving, so you just start connecting to your physical body more. And once you have sort of established a connection, a relationship, a habit, like a positive habit in your day of connecting with your body through a hot bath or, you know, time, dedicated time, then you can start with breast massage. You can start with yoni gazing. Even just like, how many women out there have not actually held a mirror and looked at their own yoni?
Yeah.
It's And then when you look at your yoni, you can start to have a conversation with it. And because so many people, yeah, like actually, yeah, it's like a weird puppet show, I know, but.
No, but I know exactly what you're saying. There's an impulse, right? There's an impulse to communicate, to speak with her, you know, to appreciate her when you reestablish that communication. And I want to go back to what you said about massage and self-massage. Like one of the things that I discovered was that when I started yoni massage and self-pleasuring as a regular practice, I could be quite dry and cold with myself, like almost clinical, like, come on, let's go, let's do the work. And so I really had to slow down, way, way down, and start with like a complete body massage, self body massage. And the first time that I did that and I really got into it, I started crying out of nowhere. These tears came and I realized I had never, ever done that for myself. I had never taken the time, 15 minutes even, to just like rub every part of my body with oil and pay attention to myself and be kind to my body. And it just like came to me like this terrible sadness of how mean and cruel I could be, you know, and had been to myself, like not giving myself the time of day, not paying loving attention to myself. And I thought, and you wonder why you see that reflected in the world, you know, and in intimate relationships when we're needy and we wish, oh, you know, that person doesn't love me the way that I want them to, or, you know, there's something missing or whatever that is. Well, you know, what are you not giving yourself without even realizing it? That was like a revelation for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I told a friend of mine once who had a lot of sexual trauma and she didn't want to touch herself, but she wanted to heal. I said, just give yourself a 5-minute foot massage, 5 minutes on your feet. And for her, that was a really profound experience. It requires that you stay present with yourself and your sensations, which right. if you have trauma or dissociation or numbness, and it doesn't even have to be sexual trauma. It could be, you know, a breakup or a bad breakup a few years ago. Could be, you know, losing out on a job or something. It could be anything.
Yeah, I mean, any kind of feeling of rejection, right, translates to like a self-rejection. And so it's hard to connect with your sensuality when you feel like you're not worthy somehow.
Yeah. So reconnecting to that sensuality, to the sensation of your body and being present with the subtlety of sensation.
Yeah.
This is where to start.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, there are a number of tools that we can, you know, avail ourselves of to awaken the yoni and awaken the energy and get it moving in that area. There's the yoni egg, which we've mentioned, the jade egg. There are also, you know, tools that we can use for yoni massage and self-pleasuring. And I kind of put all three of those things in different categories myself. Will you talk about the difference between working with a jade egg, working with a wand, yoni self-massage, self-pleasuring, the sort of varieties of the ways that we can work with the yoni energy?
Sure. So yoni massage is not about bringing yourself to orgasm. If you have pleasure, that's fine. But yoni massage is really like a therapeutic practice where you're going in to yourself with your hands and you are looking for places of numbness, places of pain, places of tension, places that might feel a bit weird inside of you. And you are giving yourself a massage. It's just what it is. But with the intention of healing, not with the intention of, you know, arousal.
Right, right. So like, I mean, I know the first time that I tried to do a yoni massage, I was clueless. I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't even know. I can't even get all the way in there. What? How am I supposed to like rub something or knead something that I can't even reach?
You start on the outside and you start, yeah, around the vulva. You start where it makes sense, where you feel like, okay, I can manage this. And if it is overwhelming, because this work is so emotional, so deep, it triggers so many memories and traumas. And I don't want to overuse that word, but there is a lot of trauma stored in the yoni without even realizing it.
And like you said, it doesn't have to be sexual trauma. It can be emotional yeah. trauma.
Yeah. 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 You know, we clench, we hold, we cross our legs when we're afraid, you know, like we have to go to the bathroom, we cross our legs, we clench, you know, all this tension. And it could even be from like using tampons when you're, you know, when you're dry or something, just like quickly putting a tampon up inside of you and not really being gentle with yourself, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so start where it feels okay and just give yourself like 5 minutes even to just breathe and then begin to make contact with where it feels like maybe it's pushing the edge of your comfort zone a little bit, but it's not going to overwhelm you. But if the tears do come, then let them come. That's part of it. That's part of the healing.
Right.
Better out than in.
Yeah. And I mean, you can work on this with your fingers, but you can also to go as you go deeper into the yoni, sometimes you might need a tool, a toy, yeah. a wand, something beautiful. You know, I mean, I have a couple of different wands that I enjoy using. I know you do too. The one that I'm really into right now is a rose quartz wand that has a sort of sinuous snake-like shape to it. So it goes to all the different places, but I really feel like, and it's got a bulb at the end that's supposed to make a contact with your cervix. And I really feel like when I'm working with that wand, there's so much love there, you know, I mean, rose quartz, obviously it's the crystal for love, you know, open-hearted compassion and all of that. And the connection of the cervix to the heart, you know, that connection with yourself and pure like self-love and self-compassion and unconditional love and acceptance, it's super powerful. But before we go there, I mean, let's talk about like, cause it took me a long time to get there. I was not It wasn't that I wasn't even aware of not being comfortable. And I think the primary feeling that I would experience and that I still experience and that I still have to work my way through. And now I'm aware of what it is. And that's boredom, right? Like I'd be like, nothing's happening. Bored, 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 bored. You know, and I would never say that I'm a person. I don't get bored in my life. I'm so engaged in life. I love life. I'm always, you know, studying something. I'm interested in everything. You know, it's like I'm never bored. I don't know what boredom is, except when I sit down and I start working with my yoni. Not always, but often, you know, I hit this wall where I'm like, nothing's going on. I don't know. I don't feel anything, you know, blah, blah, blah. And this will be after, you know, I've become like super sensitive in some area. And then I go back like with expectation, right? You should never go back with expectation. You got to be beginner's mind every time. But I'm like, oh, it's not talking today. Wake up. And I'm like, I want to shake her awake. Like, and you know, suddenly get all performative, like do something. And that is so, it's so, tells me so much about the way that I treat myself, what I expect from myself and everything. So yeah, but boredom is one of those feelings that I didn't understand how to decode. And, you know, then I came to understand that it's just emotional disconnection.
Yes, there's so much in what you just said, Claire. There's so much to unpack. And I just want to take a moment to acknowledge the listeners right now who are still with us. And I just want to say, like, this content can be really overwhelming for people, really exciting, but also really overwhelming. So if you're still with us, I just want to take a moment where we just take a breath right now to just like calm ourselves down a little bit, because I'm sure some of the listeners are feeling a little bit like churned up. And
it's true, Charlotte. And I'm really glad. Thanks for bringing such awareness and presence to that moment, because here's the thing. You and I talk about this stuff all the time, right? Yeah. We're used to it. We're used to it. I mean, we've spent days and days together. You've lived at my house with me. You know, we've spent a lot of time together, and we've gotten into very deep conversations, no pun intended. But, you know, it's true that this is, you know, I feel like I can't help it. I always want to dive right in, you know, to the deep end. So yeah, for those of you who are still with us, we salute you. And yeah, let's just take a breath for a second and be present to ourselves. Maybe you can even be aware of what's going on in the yoni. Okay.
My yoni thanks you for that.
Mm-hmm.
I was showing the jade egg to someone recently, and she got all flushed in the face, like all. And I sometimes forget, because I talk about it all the time, how activating it can be for people. So just to know that that's common, and it's okay. It's okay.
Well, I mean, if anything, it's a sign, you know, that this is, when we get triggered by anything, we know that there's a samskara there. At least one. I mean, you remember that first time that you and I, when we went through vaginal kung fu together and you were supporting me, there were just some places that I could not go. I would not go there. You know, and you were a great coach because you were sort of gently opening the door, but you weren't forcing me to step through anywhere. I mean, I had so much denial about some things, you know, and I was like, nope, you know, I'm just not going to go there yet. You know, you can't go until you're ready. Even if you have the desire and the intention to, you know, that just certain things don't, it's okay. You know, divine timing, everything is perfect. But if you notice that you're triggered, if you notice that you're uncomfortable, if you notice that you want to change the subject or turn something off, just be curious, you know, what's really going on? What's going on there? Something might be calling for healing.
Mm-hmm. And with the work that I've done, I've noticed a lot of women well, they'll compare themselves to other women doing the work, or, you know, some people will have big growth spurts right away and they'll like hook on to the work and then they'll like have like lots of successes and then they'll plateau, and other women will like inch their way baby step forward and they'll be, and then they'll like recoil a little bit when they get scared of something and resistance will come up, and then maybe months later they'll come back to the work and try again. So yeah, everyone's on their own timeline, and even just being open to that journey is a great step, and being aware of where you are in that journey.
Yeah. I mean, I would say like that was the first couple of years for me was just about awareness. I was thrilled by, you know, the prospect of going deeper, but I just didn't, I didn't have the courage yet to do it, you know? So I really understand that, you know, it takes time. It's like it's a layered process, right? Layers start to come off, and it's hard when you have a habit of comparing yourself to other people, or, you know, being performative or expecting, you know, results or a certain kind of, you know, for me, it didn't really click. I guess this is just, maybe it's just me, you know, because it's like, it's been like that with other things that I've really ended up diving into, totally, you know, 100%. But it took me some time to get there. And then once I made the decision to do it, then, you know, it was 110%, you know. So, you know, for example, when you talked about showing somebody your yoni egg, I remember I did the same thing recently, showed it to a friend, and she's like, oh yeah. She said, actually, I have one of those somewhere. I don't know where I put it, you know. And it occurred to me that, you know, many women will get a yoni egg, they're inspired, you know, to get one because they hear about it and they think, okay, but then they don't really know what to do with it. Right? Because it's quite specific, the way that, and there's a lot of sort of information that is maybe not the greatest information about how to work with a yoni egg, like what's the purpose of it. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, I definitely can. So, and yes, there are many women who, yeah, I've got an egg somewhere gathering dust and I don't use it. I don't know how to use it. So my first answer to that would be to check out Kim's Salonette, because she has all the info and exercises on how to get started on that. What was the other part of your question, Clara?
Well, let's make a distinction between like the yoni egg and how you, and what its purpose is, as opposed to like what we were talking about, self-pleasure and getting to our yoni massage.
So the purpose of the egg is kind of like the purpose of when you go to the gym, of lifting a weight.
Mm-hmm.
You're strengthening and activating and waking up a part of your body that might be a bit flabby or numb, or maybe you dissociate from it, or maybe it's just tired. And so you're using the egg as a form of resistance. So this whole idea that you can just do Kegels and like flap your vagina around in the wind is not productive. You need resistance. You need resistance to give you feet, to give the muscles feedback. And the reason why you would even want to do that is A, because when you create more sentience and aliveness in the vagina, you create more circulation. And when you create more circulation, you create more lubrication. And when you create more lubrication, you create more energy there, and then your whole life is better. Just to cut to the chase. And it's not only for helping you to strengthen, but it can also, if you have like some women have like clamped down vaginas that like won't open and they're scared, like I can't get the egg in or anything. It also helps you to soften the area, release the area, just by bringing conscious awareness to that area. So it's really important that if you're working with an egg, you don't put it in and forget about it, or walk around with it, or sleep with it, because the whole point is to bring consciousness and to wake up that area. So if you sleep with it, or if you're walking around with it, it's like you're like sleeping with a weight. This is what Kim says, sleeping with a weight on your arm. It's like not going to help your arm muscle to tape a weight to your arm. And yeah, so you want to be, even if it's just 5 minutes or 10 minutes, working with really conscious awareness of what the sensations are. And if there are no sensations, which happens often to women when they start working with the yoni egg, they can't feel anything. It's okay. Just keep doing it. And eventually you'll start to feel something. And you can put your finger in with the egg as well so that you can get feedback on your finger and then eventually take that out. And then you can eventually, when you build strength in the different areas of your vagina, because did you know your vagina has at least 6 areas that you can isolate from each other? Left, right, cervical area, middle area, and entrance area. Once you create more sentience, aliveness, strength, then you can actually start to lift things with your vagina. So you can like have this thread on the edge of the egg and you can tie fun random objects to it. And you can do like vaginal weightlifting, which is also great for your core and for your ability to manifest. You know, when you have that much strength in that part of your body, you walk through the world like, boom, I can do, if I can lift a flower vase with my vagina, I can do anything.
Yeah. And you know what? That's not like a sideshow, guys. I mean, that's not a sideshow. It's not some freaky deaky thing. You know, we should, why would you go to the gym and exercise your whole body and like, forget about your pelvic floor, not just your pelvic floor, but what's inside there, you know, your vagina, there's tons of muscles in there. You give birth through your birth canal there. I mean, it deserves the same attention that we would pay to any other part of our body that we wanted to develop. And yet we're so disconnected from it. It's like, does not even exist. I don't even, you know, I for me, I was like, I don't even think about it unless I have to. And usually if I have to, it's because there's a problem, you know, that's certainly the way that I feel like I was raised, you know, I mean, just in societally, in the culture. So, yeah, the jade egg for me, that's like, okay, that's the gym, you know, that's what I use to strengthen, to create more sentience, to create tone, right? Like you said, like, it's not about strength and clenching and everything. It's also about being able to let go, being able to release and to soften, right? And that's what gives us flexibility, and, you know, increases the circulation to the area and reconnects the, you know, remakes the neural connections, right? And I think when we get numb somewhere, when we're disconnected from something, it's like literally the neurons don't connect anymore because they were like, okay, well, she's not communicating with that area. So I guess we're not needed here. We'll leave, you know? But when you start stimulating it, you ask for the nerves to come back, you know, and when you're trying to develop strength and flexibility, you know, over time. And I love how you connected that to manifesting, right, in the world, because I know for sure, you know, when I go out in the world after having worked with the jade egg, I do feel more empowered and more strong. I mean, the truth is, if your pelvic floor is flabby, you're losing a lot of energy out the bottom. You know, people don't realize, I mean, this is in Kundalini yoga, we practice Mulbandh, right? Mulbandh is the lock, the first lock at the pelvic floor where you squeeze the anus and the sex organs and the navel in and up. And so you create this muscular lock that encourages the energy to rise. So, I mean, you know, I feel like at least I'll speak for myself, you know, personally, I had enough experience with Mulbandh to have some degree of pelvic tone. But when I started working with a jade egg, that was like, oh, wow. So it's not just about the opening. It's not just about the pelvic floor. There is the whole world inside your yoni with muscles and it curves and hollows and places that, you know, and the cervix moves up and down. And depending on the position you're in, everything changes in the internal geography. So the yoni egg can be used to neurally map your vagina. This is an expression that I've heard used again and again. Can you elaborate on that a bit, Charlotte? What is like yoni mapping? What's it good for?
Well, there are these acupressure points within the vagina that are linked to energy meridians that go throughout the body. So you actually stimulate different glands, organs by waking up the different parts of the map within your yoni.
Wow. So yoni is like any other part of our body, like the ear or the foot or the hand, that is a microcosm of the entire thing, right? Because this is the fractal nature of existence, right? Like you, when you work on your yoni, you work on your whole being, not just the physical, but all of the levels of your being, because everything is in the one.
Exactly. And a specific example of that is, for example, the kidney meridian. The kidneys are where we store fear, anxiety and fear. The kidney meridian is connected to the G zone, or some people call it the G spot, but it's more of a zone. And what happens when you stimulate the G zone, you ejaculate, right? And hopefully you do. But then you stimulate that meridian, you release the fear, anxiety from the kidneys. And so you're working on a multidimensional level. It's not just physical.
Yeah.
It's emotional. Yeah. It's mental.
Sorry, I just want to go back to what you said, because I think that this is maybe an area where a lot of women don't necessarily know what you're talking about or believe that it's possible to ejaculate as a woman. We know that's not true. But, I mean, what do you connect that to? Because, I mean, when ejaculation for men represents a substantial loss of energy, and so we haven't really talked about men that much, but you know, men are more encouraged to like learn how to recycle their energy and move that energy up so that they don't lose life force energy through ejaculation, which doesn't mean you can't have an orgasm. You can. It's just, you know, you want to preserve ejaculation because of the loss of energy. What happens for a woman when she ejaculates? Is there a loss of energy there?
No, there's a regeneration of energy.
That's certainly what it feels like to me.
The only time that, well, not the only, but one of the main losses of energy for a woman is the clitoral orgasm. Mm-hmm. If it's disconnected, if you're just doing it to get off, mm-hmm. it can be a huge, and I have felt it where if you just go for the clitoral orgasm, it's like eating a candy bar. You get a little hit of excitement and then you feel like crap.
Yeah, it feels empty.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels sort of superficial, hollow, empty, like cheap. It's just a little like explosion of bliss hormones, and then you kind of crash in the same way it's like when a man sort of jerks off into his sock and then passes out. It's just like not it's not elegant or sophisticated in terms of channeling energy.
Right. Well, I mean, this is where we can really connect working with sexual energy to awakening consciousness, right? I mean, when you're as your consciousness awakens, you realize that everything about you is sacred, everything. And so you're not going to waste yourself the way that you did before, because you have too much respect for the incredible vessel that God has created that you get to inhabit. With its intelligence and connection to multidimensional levels of life all the way to the source, right? I mean, magnificent. You develop a whole new respect for yourself. And it's not an ego-based, respect. It's a deep, sacred respect, you know, sacred intimacy. Now I think maybe some women might be listening right now going, what do you mean literal orgasm? What do you mean ejaculation, G-spot, cervix? You know, is it even, what kind of, you know, most women only know one brand of orgasm, right? And orgasm, generally speaking, I've noticed, you know, when it's talked about out in the world, you know, it's so generalized. You're like, well, wait, what kind of orgasm are you talking about here? Because there's so many different ones and they have different frequencies, don't they? Different vibrations.
And everyone wants to know, what is a cervical orgasm? How do you know you're having a cervical orgasm? And I resist answering that question because the only way to really know is to have one. You can't put it into words, but I can tell you that you can't also put a woman in a lab and tell her to have a cervical orgasm, because she won't.
Right.
Because a cervical orgasm is connected to the higher realms. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, it's not mechanical. It's a deep surrender, right?
It's a spiritual experience. Yeah. It's, like, I don't know. what to compare it to, and I almost don't want to try. But
can I interject with something that happened to me recently? During cervical stimulation, I started, well, you know, the journey with my cervix is ongoing. You know, it was a great joy to discover that I could feel pleasure there, because I don't ever remember since I was a child, you know, that feeling when you were a child and you were running outside in the grass with no shoes.
Yeah.
You ever get that feeling that went up into your cervix?
Oh yeah.
Well, suddenly that feeling came back, and I had an image of myself running with no shoes as a child. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize that that was what I was feeling as a child. You know, it suddenly came back to me, and I was like, what is that? It was like smelling something really old and familiar, you know, that suddenly you connect to a memory, right? So that wasn't even what I was going to say, but it was a great joy to discover that there was pleasure there again, you know, underneath all the layers of pain and numbness and all of that, that I had been working my way through. And during the cervical stimulation, which I do for at least an hour, I mean, that's how long I need to start to like connect with the energy there in a deeper way. You know, that's how long I need right now anyway, to really like let go and be with myself with no time pressure, with no pressure to perform. You know, I'm just like, no, I'm just here, and I'm going to sit, go through the boredom, and I'm going to, you know, and I'm just going to keep renewing my interest and trying to just absolutely focus on sensation. And I start having lots of images. The very first time that I experienced a cervical orgasm, I felt like it was a flower that was opening to infinity. There were all of these petals that was like the 1,000-petal lotus, but it was opening, and there was an infinite number of petals, right? And I started seeing all of these images of flowers opening and kaleidoscope images, you know, in energetically, you know, as a feeling, and also in my mind. And it took me on a journey back to my adolescence. Of course, I've been thinking about that a lot lately with the subject matter in the podcast, and how my dad used to give me flowers, you know, to mark moments in my life where he was proud of me. And, you know, and I mean, I did have a thought while I was, you know, actively working on the cervix, like, why am I thinking about my dad? Is that weird? But it was really, and then the tears started to come, and it was really a sort of, remembering, and, you know, the word remembering itself, you know, is remembering. It's putting your parts back together as one, instead of being in separation. And it was remembering the sort of loving tenderness that I experienced from my father, who wanted to honor these different passages into womanhood as I was growing up and getting farther and farther away from him. You know, he would give me flowers, and I kept seeing all these flowers in my mind. And then I, you know, connected these flowers with the flowering of the cervix, and not only that, but with the flowering of womanhood itself. And I realized that in the, it makes me a little emotional to talk about it, but in the aftermath of the loss of my father, there was a part of me that voluntarily stayed behind, you know, not consciously, but unconsciously, refusing to come into the full flowering of womanhood, you know, wanting to remain a little girl, out of loyalty, you know, to my father, and in a way saying, you know, I don't have to grow up and make you sad since you're not here anymore. You know, I'll just stay with you. It's almost like the cervix was speaking to me in code, right? It was so profound. It was speaking to me in code. Like, it was saying, like, flower, go ahead, you know, let yourself come into that full flowering of womanhood, not only womanhood, but humanhood. You know, do not hold yourself back anymore. There's a part of you that was frozen in time, And you need to reintegrate that, right? It was showing me all of these images of flowers opening and kaleidoscopes opening to infinity and all the sacred geometry and shapes and stuff like that, you know, and it took me, I don't know, maybe it was 15 minutes of just like crying and working through this, decoding the forms and the energies and with the language that it was speaking to me. But I had the most profound sense of it really communicating compassionately something to me after all of the ways that I insulted it over the years, you know, that it was back in communication and it was still willing to talk to me after everything that happened, you know, after all of the insults to it. I mean, I don't know if, I mean, it's so valuable just to go and spend time there that, you know, I doesn't really matter there. It's not performative, you know, it's like a treasure trove of discovery and communication. And it's on a vibrational level somehow, that's deeply symbolic and beyond, you know, the way that the conscious mind, has the expectation of communicating, right, or receiving information. So, I'm sorry, that's a bit of a digression, but, I just wanted to, like take the pressure off of us as women, you know, to have like some particular kind of experience, as a cervical orgasm, right? And, you know, in support of what you said.
I just want to say that that was not a digression.
Maybe not.
I think what you just shared, Claire, was absolutely on point with what we're talking about in terms of what is a cervical orgasm. I mean, even the fact that you've just had some emotions coming up, this is a key factor or a key sign of a cervical experience of like that you're releasing and that you're not holding back and that you're opening and surrendering and going into the nuances of being a spiritual being, having a human experience. And the boredom that you were talking about before is really just a resistance to that nuance.
Yeah. Well, it's like you said before, when you do this work, you become more, well, it's just like you fall in love with yourself. You become more and more accepting of yourself and, you know, everything about you, and nothing is off limits anymore. And so, I mean, for me, it's like it's so kind of obvious, but like when you move from these superficial clitoral orgasms that are, just kind of a sneeze, which, you know, and I'm not disparaging, the clitoral orgasms are great. They can be very enjoyable as a starter. But as you, explore deeper and deeper inside the yoni, it really is a parallel of the spiritual journey. You know, you're moving to the epicenter. The cervix is such a metaphor for approaching source, because it's the gateway into the womb, the void of creation. You know, I mean, it's just absolutely magical. And if we can have the courage, you know, if you really deeply want to unite with God, you've got to have a relationship with your yoni. I mean, I don't know how the nuns did it back in the day. I can't comment on that. I know I've been a nun at least a couple of times, probably, but or a monk. But I mean, now anyway, in the Aquarian age, I don't think you can't get the full picture if you don't have this relationship with your deep self on the physical level.
Well, I think the nuns' concept of God was still that God was outside of them.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And I personally don't prescribe to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what you're describing with the flowering and the opening and this very expansive experience that you had of your deepest self is really an experience of your divinity.
Yeah.
The God within you. which is everywhere.
Yeah, right. So of course it's going to be there too, right? I always come back to those Bible verses that I love, you know, when Jesus said, split a piece of wood and I am there. Lift up a stone and you will find me. You know, that's just, so there's nothing to be ashamed of and there's nothing to be afraid of inside you, right? And the yoni is such a metaphor for the unconscious. You know, when we go down into the depths and we're afraid of the monsters and the things that we're going to discover there, you know, there's nothing that can, it, you know, the dragon is fearful, but it's guarding the treasure and it's a symbol of incredible power.
Like unspeakable power.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
So, and it's also getting away from this idea of like A to B linear thinking, like I just need to get to orgasm and then we're done.
Right. Right. It's more about spending time, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to come back to the clitoral, which is very much like a rise, 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 an explosion and a fall. Whereas mm-hmm. when you go deeper inside the vagina, it's not that at all. It's just spending time and it's an expansive experience. It just keeps going.
It just keeps going. I know, right? I mean, you could
then
be
you get hungry for a snack, so you go get a snack.
I know, right? Or you're like, and, oh, I need a little break.
Yeah. But then it lasts for days, the energy.
Yeah.
Just for days and days.
Yeah, it's very sustaining.
Yeah, it gives you energy. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, relationally, I mean, right now, everybody, we're kind of, we're talking about the connection between this work, you know, moving sexual energy and having currency with your own sexuality. And personal empowerment. But as we go on, we're going to make connections to, you know, much bigger issues. And I want to start talking a little bit about relationships, you know, we're talking about, you know, male-female relationships, but of course, you know, whether you're in a heterosexual or a homosexual relationship, we all have both of the masculine and the feminine energies within us. So, you know, it applies to anybody, but, you know, there's this sort of idea that, you know, in the frustration between couples, you know, about around sex, because there are such different sexual responses, you know, between men and women, you know, and if a man is not conscious in his sexuality, if a woman is not conscious in her sexuality, then there's going to be some friction because the responses tend to be so different, you know, and a woman is going to feel perpetually unfulfilled if a man doesn't understand how she can have much deeper orgasms, if she doesn't know, and if he doesn't know, and, you know, if he is performative, or, you know, I mean, I realized over time that I treated myself like a man treated me, you know, and I'm not casting any aspersions on any of the men that I was with, you know, especially early in my life, you know, they were all lovely, wonderful people. It's just like a lack of education and awareness. But I took that role with myself, you know, sort of like, okay, well, now that I'm done, it's over. And you just have to deal with all this stirred up energy, you know, and that hasn't come to full flower, right? So, you know, how do you see in your work with people, how does educating yourself and becoming conscious about your sexual energy influence the relationships in your experience? Well, it looks like I'm going to have to leave you with a little bit of a cliffhanger there. This is going to actually be the beginning of our next conversation with Charlotte. It was so rich and we could have talked all day long, I assure you. But we had so much material that we decided to break it down into a couple of conversations. So we'll be talking more next time about relationships and about what the yoni, the empowerment of your sexual energy has to do with empowerment on a much larger scale, sort of connect the dots culturally and societally speaking. It's very juicy, so I hope you'll join us next time for more conversation with Charlotte. Much more to come. In the meantime, you can find out more about Charlotte in the show notes. And also, if you're interested, curious, and want to learn more about the Jade Yoni Egg that we were mentioning, check out the show notes. There are some links there. Also, to the Yoni Egg Salonet that Charlotte and I both did as our introduction to this whole Yoniverse. We'll be back again real soon with the continuation of this conversation. Until then, walk in grace. Thank you for joining me in the grace space, where you're always in the right place. If you love this podcast, I invite you to subscribe to it and submit a review